From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, February 10th, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, a wrap-up of the January 2017 ARRL Board of Directors meeting.
ARRL Board names several award winners.
And a Radio Australia HF station signs off in CW.
Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
I'm ARRL member Tim Doffing, KE0LMX, from Cottage Grove, Minnesota, and you're listening to the ARRL Audio News.
The ARRL Board of Directors unanimously adopted five legislative objectives for the 115th Congress when it met in Connecticut January 21st and 22nd. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, chaired the session. The first objective is to seek early congressional passage of the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2017, H.R. 555, and of any Senate companion bill that might be introduced. H.R. 555 cleared the House on January 23rd. The board was told that specific instructions to the FCC on implementation of the bill would be included in the report language from Congress. In addition to the new Parity Act initiative, the ARRL board agreed that the League would oppose any legislation that would lead to the reallocation of amateur radio spectrum or to sharing arrangements that reduce the utility of existing allocations. ARRL will also oppose legislation that diminishes the rights of federal licensees in favor of unlicensed emitters or encourages the deployment of spectrum-polluting technologies. New England Division Director Tom Frenay, K1KI, presented the report of the Entry-Level Licensing Committee and entertained questions. It has been more than 10 years since ARRL asked the FCC to consider a proposal for restructuring licensing requirements and creating a more appropriate entry-level license. After a comprehensive study, the committee is still discussing possible recommendations to bring before the board for consideration. ARRL is seeking member comments on the issue. A link to the survey is on the ARRL website. In his report to the board, ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, noted that there are few threats to amateur radio spectrum at this time. He also pointed up the importance of a comprehensive review of the Amateur Auxiliary, the official observer program. ARRL Second Vice President Brian Milshofsky and 5ZGT provided an oral report to the board regarding an OO program study now underway. Milshofsky also told the board that, despite rumors, no changes to the OO program are planned in the interim. A copy of the board meeting minutes is available on the ARRL website.
The ARRL board named the winners of several awards when it met in Connecticut January 20th through 21st. The board voted to grant the Barry Goldwater K7UGA Achievement Award to Amateur Radio Parity Act sponsor, U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger, in recognition of his outstanding support of amateur radio as an elected official. Kinzinger has sponsored Amateur Radio Parity Act legislation in the 113th, 114th, and 115th Congresses. The board called Kinzinger a great friend to amateur radio over the past 4 years and a patriotic American. Richard Darling, AH7G, and Barbara Darling, NH7FY, are the recipients of the 2016 International Humanitarian Award. The board cited the couple's support of past International Humanitarian Award winner John Bush, KH6DLK and V63JB, and their significant material support to his efforts in the Federated States of Micronesia. They have supported these ongoing efforts over many years with on-the-air activities, including communication during weather events, including several typhoons, as well as other emergency activities, including assistance to boaters in trouble, the board's resolution said. The board bestowed the 2016 Doug DeMaug Technical Excellence Award upon Stephen J. Frank, K9AN, and Joseph H. Taylor, K1JT, for their article on a source soft decision decoder for the JT65 Reed-Solomon code, which appeared in the May-June 2016 issue of QEX. Recipients of the 2016 Bill Leonard W2SKE Professional Media Awards were Wayne Rash, N4HCR of eWeek Magazine, Jamala Henderson of KUOW Radio in Seattle, and Derek Felton of WGND-TV in Louisiana for their individual excellence in covering amateur radio topics in the media.
ARRL contributing editor Ward Silver and 0AX of St. Charles, Missouri, is the 2016 Bill Orr Technical Writing Award winner, sponsored by the ARRL Foundation. It marks the second time Silver has been named to receive the prestigious award. The first came in 2003. The QST editorial staff reviewed articles for the past year and nominated Silver on the basis of his January 2016 article about SSB. The award's namesake, engineer, educator, and communicator extraordinaire William I. Bill Orr, W6SAI, wrote and edited scores of technical books and articles of interest to amateur radio enthusiasts. The Orr Award is bestowed each year to the QST author who writes an outstanding QST article or series on new or existing technologies or on methods or means of amateur communication.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters throughout North America, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
There is always the quest for that longest distance record, and we have many satellites to choose from to do it. Using the ISS Digipeter and sending an APRS message, Mark, KK6OTJ, and Jerry, W8LR, on February 1st, had a packet QSO during one of the passes. The distance was 3,089 kilometers, establishing a new distance record for the ISS Digipeter. Congratulations to them both. You can see more distance records for many of the amateur satellites on the AMSAT.org website. Click on Satellite Info, then Communication Satellites. Scroll down almost to the bottom of the page and click on Satellite Distance Records. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
Slow scan television transmissions are planned from the International Space Station on February 13th and 14th. The SSTV images will be transmitted on 145.800 MHz FM as part of the MAI-75 experiment, using the Kenwood TMD-710 transceiver located in the ISS Russian service module. It's anticipated the transmissions will be in PD-180 SSTV format. The MAI-75 activities have been scheduled for the Russian crew on February 13th from 0925 until 1800 UTC, and on February 14th from 1125 until 1630 UTC. Transmissions on 145.800 MHz FM use a 5 kHz deviation. The ISS Fan Club website will show when the space station is in range. More information on ISS SSTV is on the AMSAT UK website.
ARRL has announced its 2017 Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology schedule. This summer's sessions will be held in Dayton, Ohio, hosted by the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, or DARA, and at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. DARA also helps to sustain the program as a generous contributor. The deadline to apply is May 1st. Past participants who have completed the introductory TI-1 course may want to consider signing up for the advanced TI-2 session on remote sensing and data gathering. These expenses-paid, intensive professional development opportunities offer educators training and resources to explore wireless technology in the classroom using amateur radio. Topics covered in the TI-1 Introduction to Wireless Technology include basic electronics, radio science, microcontroller programming, and basic robotics. Among other activities, participants will learn how to solder and practice by building a digital clock. They'll also learn basic circuit concepts and learn how to use basic test equipment. Educators in the TI-1 class will also learn about amateur radio, take part in a hidden transmitter hunt, and see demonstrations of amateur radio satellite communication. Students will build and program their own simple robots. An amateur radio license is not required to take the TI-1 class. More information is available on the ARRL website. An article about the Teachers Institute will appear in the March issue of QST.
ARRL members are invited to submit entries for the 2017 QST Antenna Design Competition. You can enter in one of three categories: 160 meters, low frequency or very low frequency, 80 through 10 meters, and 6 meters and higher. We can accept only one entry per person or team, so choose your category wisely. Don't wait too long, though. The deadline is June 1st, 2017. First place winners, individuals or teams, in each category will receive $500 each. Second and third place winners in each category will receive $250 and $100, respectively. Winning designs will also be eligible for publication in QST. Please visit the ARRL website for complete rules for the antenna design competition.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Richard Reben, KE4WLE of Clayton, Ohio, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
AM and SSB is the topic of the latest February 9th episode of the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast, Listen and Learn. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. Listen on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, whenever and wherever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, will discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can also email your questions to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. Enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry or at Stitcher and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices.
And finally, in an apparent nod to radio amateurs who may have tuned in, Radio Australia's VL8A transmitter in Alice Springs signed off on January 31st in CW. The station sent 73DEVL8A QRT before pulling the big switch. Radio Australia announced last fall that it planned to cease shortwave transmissions, although it will continue to broadcast on the FM and AM bands via satellite and via online streaming and mobile applications. The move was not popular with those who live and work in the vast area the shortwave broadcasts reached, with some saying it was the only reliable broadcast outlet and that its demise could deprive Northern Australian listeners of emergency and critical weather information. Radio Australia has said the move was in line with its commitment to dispense with outdated technology and to expand its digital content offerings and FM services.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X, 73, and thanks for listening.